It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are winterizing our space, sealing up cracks, going through a checklist to cut down on drafty areas. Home heating bills are going to take a bite out of the budget. The average heating bill this winter will be 35% higher than just 2 years ago. That's NEDA's latest estimates, the National Energy Assistance Directors Association. Join in on windows, doors, furnaces, fireplaces, and more. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mercury Stardust is back, a maintenance technician known as the Trans Handyman on TikTok. Mercury, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, good to be here. I hope you're having a wonderful morning.
Indeed. So help us out here. What problems often come up in homes as the colder temperatures arrive?
Oh my gosh, there's so many problems that come up right away. I think a lot of people like to forget about the keys, the big five when it comes to winterizing our homes. And I mean, making sure that we clean our gutters. Mm-hmm. I know no one likes to do it, but cleaning the gutters can ensure that we're not going to have ice buildup in our attics or underneath our roofing. And that's a big deal, especially later on when everything starts thawing out. And something that a lot of people have in their homes, but often forget that they can use to help winterize their homes is their ceiling fans. Ceiling fans can be put into reverse and then make them go clockwise. And that can help to make sure they circulate all that warm, hot air. If you're living in an apartment building and you're in a two-story apartment building and you're on the bottom and you have a ceiling fan, oh, you have all that wonderful heat that's being trapped in the towards the top of your apartment. If you reverse that ceiling fan, that's going to bring that heat down from you, especially if you have a unit above you.
Okay.
And then if you're living in a home or a townhouse or anything around those lines, making sure that your heating, your furnace filters are changed out. It's so often that I head over to people's homes and I find just the most filthy furnace.
I think that was mine. That was my home.
Oh, you're guilty of it? Oh, no.
I'm so guilty.
It's so common, too, that people forget where the arrows should be pointing. People point the filters in the wrong direction. Always think of it that you're sucking the air around you into the air system itself. So it's always going up and in and making sure that arrow is going with that up and in. And then you'll make sure the filter is going in the right direction and doing its job. And then flushing your hot water heater is a big one. It's fairly simple to do. You can get a ton of DIYs on the good old-fashioned YouTube. And then you can get to see exactly how to use your water heater to flush out the unit. But it shouldn't take any more than 3 to 5 minutes.
Wait, why do we need to flush out the water heater? Is it like all the sediment buildup on the bottom?
Or? Yeah. If you hit it right on top of your head, you already knew the answer to your own question. basically, over time, there is all the sediment, all the lime just builds up towards the bottom of the water heater. And that can cause it to basically work harder. What we're talking about is with your furnace and your hot water heater to reduce it to work any harder, right? Mm-hmm. If you're able to even turn down the hot water heater just a little bit, right? That will help keeping it from working even harder. Because in winter, to get your hot water heater to be even hotter, to be, you know, the hottest it can be, is really hard. So if you bring that temperature down just a smudge, you're actually going to save a lot of money in the long run.
What temperature would you suggest water heaters be set at in the winter months?
It's going to be different for a hot water heater, right? Because all of them have different mechanical apparatuses. Mm-hmm. But I always tell people you can bring it down 1 to 2 notches and you're going to be fine. As long as you still have warm water, you know, that's on the hotter side, you should be okay. But you definitely don't need it to be at full blast like we might be doing during the hot water months.
Okay. I think you have another of the big five here. I think I'm counting four. I'm up to four.
Yes. Checking for cracks in your home. We're talking about windows and doors. This is adding, door sweeps to the bottom of our door. This is adding weather stripping with inside of our windows. This is adding weather stripping even for our doors. In our trim. And one of the most important things is making sure that there's no cracks around there. If we're living in an older home, notoriously, there's cracks that are happening and gaps that are forming by our trim or our windowsills. And all we need is some latex interior dash exterior caulking that's going to be in there, and apply it now rather than waiting until mid-November or late November is going to be ideal, because the colder it gets and the harder it's going to be for that caulking to be implemented and do its job correctly.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about winterizing our space, sealing up cracks, the whole gamut of checklists to go through as we approach winter months. Mercury Stardust is here, maintenance technician, trans handyman on TikTok. You can join in with your questions, your situation, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So Mercury, I mean, you mentioned door sweeps, weather stripping, which you are, I know you're not such a huge fan of weather stripping, but when do you know whether you should reach for the caulk, reach for the door sweep or the weather stripping? Like, how do you choose what is right for the situation?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's going to be different for everyone's own setup, right? The reason why I'm against weather stripping to some extent is that people use it for the wrong reasons, right? People use weather stripping to try to prevent problems like keeping bugs out or trying to make things more snug and et cetera. But really what weather stripping's main purpose is to, you know, keep the weather out from our homes, right? Mm-hmm. And anything used outside of that can be difficult. But knowing what to use is important. So for an example, if we're using that really, if we have a door that has a nice gap on the side, right? We can see light coming out from the outside. If we're using weather stripping that can go inside of there, that could be a nice foam kind, that's almost like a pillow that's going in between there. That's ideal because you want it to take as much gap as possible, but push back against it, right? We don't want weather stripping that is going to just sit there and not actually add pressure to what we're putting in there. And as far as what we should do, right, what is the best option to do, if we're able to put window film on our windows, and if we are not worried about the aesthetic pleasures of that, that's always a great route, especially in Wisconsin.
So that's that like plastic wrap stuff you kind of put on? Okay.
It goes strip to strip. The kind that I like the most is probably the ugliest kind. But the kind I like a lot is that kind you have double-sided tape that you put on the side of your trim, and then you put the window film nice across it, pretty tight, and then take a blow dryer. And that actually tightens it up real nice, and then you're going to have a nice, good seal, and you're going to see a huge increase of savings if you do something like that.
Any issues with condensation there?
You can have condensation if the seal is not done properly, right? So if it does, you want to make sure you do this early enough where you can catch these problems before you get to the point where it's harder to do, right? Mm-hmm. If you can put a gap stopper in your window as well, that's going to help prevent there be any condensation inside of that windowsill itself. If you're having problems where you feel like there's a air coming through your window, you could take the trim off around your window itself and reveal the gapping. Sometimes they don't go all the way with the installation, and you can add in various types of installation sprays in there, and that's going to help seal that nice and tight. You're not going to have so much air come through there through the window itself.
Okay, we get home improvement advice here. What to check heading into the coldest months with Trans Handy Mam on TikTok, maintenance technician Mercury Stardust. Join in on areas like door openings, ceiling fixtures, vents, access panels, questions about something you tried to fix around the home and it didn't work out right. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about ways to reduce energy bills as heating prices are expected to rise significantly this winter. Join in with your questions. Share your tips for winterizing. Number one thing you do before the snow flies, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Maintenance technician Mercury Stardust stays with us, reaches more than 2 million people on TikTok, where she's known as the trans handyman. So, Mercury Stardust, you need to give us the skinny on spray insulation or that foamy stuff, you know, where we should use it or not in terms of sealing up our home?
Oh, such a good question. So, my preferred kind that I like the most is the Loctite Tight Form foam. It's pretty quick and pretty straightforward for people to use. The places that I always think there are good is like what we were just talking about a moment ago about taking the window trim off and then seeing where that gap is. And you want to add it there. I do see some people using it sometimes like around the windowsill itself. And that's kind of a place we don't want to put that. We want to put that for caulking. Like knowing the difference between what looks really good for the foam spray and then what works really well for the caulking can be a hurdle for some people. But the rule of thumb is this. If there's a big gap, right? If there's a gap rather than like a slot, that's what we want to think about. Slots are for caulking. Gaps are for insulation.
Gotcha. you know, and of course, there's blow-in insulation for attics, but and then the spray stuff for these smaller places. But I'm also seeing on these home improvement shows, they're using the spray stuff like everywhere for insulation.
Yeah, a lot of people are hell-bent on that, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why people like that is because it's a fairly cost-effective way to do that. Insulation. And is how a lot of people have advertised it. I'm very much against those kind of things. Anything that makes your life appear to be easier, chances are it's not. You know, we always want something quick and easy. And there's nothing more American than thinking that something in a can is going to be a better solution, right? And I think that they're great for small little repairs or small gaps themselves. But there is no replacement of doing things kind of more or fashion way with applying good sturdy density, insulation when you need to put it.
Okay, so we're going to move on to heating. And I hear some clicking. Is that the steam radiator? So, you know, older homes, older buildings, apartment buildings, you have these, I think they're really lovely steam radiators. I don't have them because that, you know, I can say they're lovely, but you know, what should we know about them in winter months?
That's such a good question. And honestly, you know, a lot of us face different problems all over the place, right? But we want to make sure that we keep the space around them fairly clear, right? One of the things I see the most is that we forget that they exist until winter time comes. And then that's when we stop using them as a hat rack. So we want to make sure that we keep that area itself as nice and clear. The rule of thumb is typically about 2 to 3 feet away from it. Should be nice and open. That keeps any accidents from happening. And make sure that we're safe while we're dealing with all of it. And we want to make sure that the radiator itself is open. And that can be different for various things. But most of the time, there is a handle that is next to it that will open it up for us. And we can make sure that it's running properly before the winter season starts.
Okay, so I shouldn't, you know, hang the sweatshirt onto the radiator just to warm it up a little bit before I put it on.
Yeah, it's definitely not your DIY version of a blow dryer, right?
Okay, I'm just having flashbacks to my younger years in my first apartment of those wonderful steam radiators and hardwood floors.
So, you know, there's something else I want to bring up too because I forgot to mention this earlier. If we have a home that has like spigots and faucets outside, mm-hmm. we also want to make sure that we put a faucet installation cap on it. They're fairly inexpensive. What they are is basically just a styrofoam cover that goes on top of there. And with a little strap, you can pull it nice and tight, and that's going to make a good seal around the spigot, and that's going to make sure it's going to keep more cold air from getting into your home. And that's an there's a lot of little fixes like that that we forget about. Like even the AC unit outside of our homes, you can take a piece of like particle board, take some plastic and wrap it around there, and then lay on top of your AC units and make sure the edges are covered. And that's going to help keep it from getting air inside your home too. So those little like add-ins here and there can make a big difference.
So definitely take a walk around outside. We're getting tips reducing home energy bills as colder temps approach, and Mercury Stardust is our guide, Wisconsin-based maintenance technician. You can join in with your questions about home maintenance in winterizing, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Tom in Burlington. Tom, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Well, I wish you would talk about these outside air conditioners, how you deal with that thing. And the next thing I'd like to maybe bring up is our houses are too warm. And years ago, they had these four-poster beds where they had they people would get in the bed, and that their body heat would heat the room up, and they would be warm enough. Right now, today, they just talked about a $2 million cut in the production of oil over there at OPEC. And it's like we're in a battle here with these. We've got to do something. It says it's a war we're in with this energy and the inflation.
Tom, thank you for that. And, you know, the Energy Department says lowering your home's temperature by 7 to 10 degrees in the winter can reduce the cost of our energy bill by up to 10%. How low can we set a thermostat in winter, Mercury?
That's such a good question. Honestly, you can set it as cold as you can handle, right? Like it's okay to try to soak as much light during the day and then keep it that at like about like 65 if you can at night is a-okay, right? I know I grew up in a farm home in northern Wisconsin, and we were our temperature was never above 60. You know, like Dad would make sure that the thermostat was never going to kick in unless we needed it to. You know, but everything we're talking about is about sealing the windows and sealing the doors, and even turning on the ceiling fan in reverse. All those things can actually make sure that we keep our home warm at night, right? And then, of course, everyone's biggest fear is you know, freezing when we're trying to fall asleep. But if we can make sure we're catching all the light during the day, it's going to be a big difference to make sure we can do that.
What about preparing the fireplace for winter? What are your thoughts there?
You know, I'm not an expert when it comes to fireplace because I spend so much time in apartment units over my life. You know, my major focus is renters and home maintenance for them. So I didn't have a whole lot to say about fireplaces. But I will say they scare me. You know, we're talking about keeping our home safe, and we're trying to make sure that we're on a budget when we're doing that. Something else that we can do is even hang blankets on a wall, right? When I was a kid, my mom had these big quilts, and every winter we would build them up into the hallways. We would just line the hallways with these big quilts. We would call them Christmas kilts, but they would be up the whole winter, you know. But these kilts would be up the whole time, and it was just a beautiful little add-in, but it would help to make sure that we were going to stay a little bit extra warm during the winter months, especially in northern Wisconsin.
Oh, I love that story. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, because you deal so much with renters, what can you ask of a landlord to do ahead of winter?
Oh boy, that's always my favorite question, because it really is depending on your landlord. You know, we all have different relationships with our landlord. As someone who is actually a renter herself, I will tell you that having a relationship with your landlord where you feel safe enough to actually talk to them is somewhat a privilege sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to bring up subjects because of previous issues you had. But when it comes to what they should make sure that they do is the filters should be checked, right? If you have a furnace, it should be checked. They should be making sure they flush out their water heaters. They should be doing those things for us. We should not be doing those at all. If we're having some problems with like gappage issues or the door is letting in a lot of draft, we can ask if they would take a look at it. But the understanding is that that might not actually happen.
Open so, line of communication.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what will actually happen and what we want are two different things.
Well, let's pause right there. Wisconsin-based maintenance technician Mercury Stardust, our guide to sealing up the home, preparing for winter, 800-642-1234 to join in. News update is next on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We get practical, cost-effective, straightforward advice on winterizing our spaces, what projects we should tackle and why. And we learned this fall that home heating bills are on the rise again in Wisconsin. Join in on the furnace, the water heater, the blow-in insulation versus spray-on, weather stripping, window film, things you've encountered, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mercury Stardust, a Wisconsin-based maintenance technician with home improvement advice, stays with us. Let's take a call now. Laura is here from Chippewa Falls. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I am so excited that you have Mercury on right now. Mercury, I want to thank you for helping me learn how to put blinds up in my house and to do the home improvement things that I need to do by myself. I watch your videos on TikTok, and I have learned so much from you, and I just wanted to thank you for giving me the courage to be able to do these home improvement things for myself.
Oh, that's so wonderful, Laura. Thank you so much for that comment. What have you learned or what have you done in your space with the help of Mercury?
I put blinds up. I have painted. I am seriously considering putting in laminate flooring in my office space, all because I feel like I can actually do that. Where I may not have felt that way before. So.
Oh, wow. Mercury, you're empowering people.
That's wonderful. That always makes me feel so good. Thank you so much, Laura, for telling me that. It means a lot. Sometimes you forget the impact that we can have on the world just by trying to make sure people feel empowered and feel safe in their own home. And I think a large group of my audience often feels like they weren't taught or allowed to do this when they were growing up, and they weren't talked to like, you know, they were able to do this work. So I'm so happy that they feel safe and encouraged to do the work now. And I hope that you do that laminate and flooring in your office and you get that job done.
Well, Laura brings up blinds, which may not, you know, have a major impact on heating. But if you are putting up blinds or some type of thicker drape, what advice in terms of window hangings can you give us?
You ask. That's a great question, because they actually make like weatherization curtains that can help us a lot by absorbing that heat, right? A lot when we're talking about in the summer, we want to make sure we reflect heat, right? We want to make sure that we get all that heat out of our homes. And we do that by having a light colored or white backing blinds. That's going to push the heat away from us, right? But if we want heat to come into our homes, having darker colored blinds, having darker color curtains is actually going to absorb, and that's going to retain heat. And that's another tiny little thing that could go a long ways when we're trying to bring in hot air into our home and trying to reduce our costs. We don't need to have the furnace running super high all day to make sure that we're going to be good at night. We can certainly turn it down during the day and we try to retain the heat as much as possible.
How do you avoid pipes from freezing?
Oh, such a good question, especially just a few years ago, with everything that was happening down in Texas, I feel like I was everyone's favorite TikTok girl to go to. but honestly, keeping the water running at night, even a drizzle, makes a huge difference. In Wisconsin, we're in a pretty good place. You know, we're pretty prepared for this, you know. But if you're in an older home, if you're in an older business even, it might be the case that we don't have installation that's properly around the pipes themselves. And that means if we have another really cold winter like we did a few years ago, where it felt like every day was negative 15, well, that's going to put a strain on it. That's going to put and open up a chance for that to happen. So if we can keep that the water running and making sure that there's constant water flowing, that's going to prevent that from forming and being a problem. You don't need to have it on piping hot water in order to make sure that you're not going to freeze your pipes. It's just about keeping the water moving.
Keeping it flowing,
pipes.
Right.
Yeah.
But if they should freeze, what is the best way to fix them?
You know, that is a rough one, because a lot of times people think the best way to fix it is to bang on it. You know, people take a blow dryer.
Hair dryer, right?
They do a lot of those things to do it. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we want to make sure we go slow, right? We don't want to come at it with blunt force trauma. We don't want to come at it with, you know, trying to make sure it flies out really fast, because that's when this will happen. We got to think about how pipes themselves will pressurize. So we want to make sure we keep the faucets and everything open when we do that, because if we're keeping it closed and we're adding heat on the outside, and that's when we're going to have issues, because all that pressure inside is going to build and it's going to get warmer, but has no way to escape. So if you're using a blower dryer on it, make sure your faucets are open or you're going to have a bigger issue and you're going to regret trying to fix the problem yourself.
Okay. Getting tips for our home and sealing up as colder temps set in. Mercury Stardust here, Wisconsin-based maintenance technician known as the Trans Handyman on TikTok. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. What's coming up as you winterize your home, your apartment, your condo? 800-642-1234. Tom mentioned the AC unit is, you know, how do you turn off the air conditioner to start the winterization process? What are some of those steps that we should do?
That's a really good question. I actually realized that we didn't answer Tom's question really before about the covers. it's always nice to be able to have a cover around our homes to begin with. You know, if we have a wall unit, we want to make sure that we have a cover that can go over that nice and tight. But as I said before, if we have an outdoor AC unit, one that, you know, a nice little square outside, rather, making sure that that is turned off and making sure that we actually have our, like a wood on top of there that's covered in plastic, all that's going to make sure that it's going to not release air into our home. We want to also make sure there's nothing around it, right? If someone accidentally turns on our AC and we have it completely boarded up, that's going to ruin the AC and that's going to be a very costly repair come spring, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't want to box it in completely. Keeping air flowing on the sides is important. And also if we have any debris around it, we want to remove all those leaves, remove any potential of anything forming up around side the AC unit itself.
This time of year, we get those promotions in the mail to have someone come out and check your AC, come out and check your furnace. You know, do you think we should get a contractor for this, or should we be able to do some of this ourselves in terms of making sure that the HVAC is good to go?
I think if you're a new homeowner or if you're someone who hasn't been a while around winters quite a lot. I think it's important to ask for help in those ways.
Okay.
I don't think there's any shame in having a contractor come out one winter and check your home, especially if you're new to that space, because they might catch something that you never even would have thought of, right? Because they see it every single day. Now, people always push back when it comes to like, oh, I don't want to spend the money. All you have to do is pick their brain one time. If you pick a technician or a contractor's brain well enough, you'll be able to have that enough information that's going to last you in that home for quite some time. And I always think those things are worth it, because you're preparing for the long haul for a home, right? We want to live there for several years. and into the future, and starting out fresh and making sure all our checks are checked off and all our boxes are checked off is really important.
Yes, getting as much information as possible about that space. Let's go to Mary in Slinger. Mary, hi.
Hi.
What would you like to bring up?
I don't really have any questions. I really just wanted to say thank you to Mercury. I mean, I follow you on TikTok, and I have for a while, and I just admire you so much. You had helped me through so many things, whether it be from fixing things around the house in like really simple ways, or just being an inspiration to see another woman tackling these things and showing the community how to do them on their own is amazing. And I just think you're an absolutely incredible human.
That is so beautiful, Mary. Is there any one particular how-to that struck you that really helped that you can pinpoint?
Oh, gosh. Not that I can pinpoint. I mean, on the spot, it's been things like little things here and there that I've tried to find solutions and use the solution would be of this.
Oh. Mary, you're breaking up a bit, but you know what we can gather, Mercury? It's the little things that we need to know how to do in order to make that home.
Yeah, first of all, Mary, thank you so much for calling and saying that. It always makes me giggle because, you know, I've done like 2,000 some videos on TikTok, so it's a lot to go through. but I'm really I'm happy that you called in and you said that. I mean, one of my most popular videos was my wall stud video, and that was how to find a wall stud in your wall by using a magnet. And that's always a really handy one to have around. If you're trying to hang a picture in a wall, or you're trying to find, if you have an old plaster and lathe walling, and you're trying to find a stud in a wall, a magnet is kind of usually your best bet. You know, we always talk about using wall studs, stud finders.
Stud finders, yes.
Stud finders can be tough in plaster and lathe, right? Because stud finders are great for consistent, you know, walls. But walls back then were done with plaster, and that wasn't always even, you know? So it was inconsistent density. And that can be difficult to try to find a stud because studs weren't always the same standard width either. So they were much harder to find 100 years ago. So a magnet will find the screw that goes through the plaster and lathe or go through your drywall, and then you can find that one screw and then you can find the other ones just by process elimination. And that's a great way to do it.
A simple magnet. What do you have in mind?
You know, honestly, if you have magnets that you have for any craft things, that's great. The magnets don't have to be super strong. I've even proven that you can use magnets on your fridge to do this trick. if you have plaster and lathe, I do recommend going to like a hardware store or a craft store and getting yourself a magnet like for like $3 or $2 magnet. And that will be great for what you're using it for, because that's going to be a little bit stronger to find it. But if you got drywall, you can do this. I did this with a tiger magnet, one of those little cute little And on the back of there's just a simple little round magnet. And that was enough for me to find studs in a wall.
Maintenance technician Mercury Stardust helping us keep our spaces warm, unique fixes, offering tips for winterizing products we might need to complete these tasks. Still time to talk about home maintenance and what you encounter headed into the colder months. 800-642-1234, magnets and all. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. What home maintenance project are you trying to get done before temps drop lower? We have tips and advice from maintenance tech Mercury Stardust, who knows ways to save energy, reduce utility bills, helpful tips. Still time to talk about your experiences with your winterizing to-do list, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Emily in Madison on ducks, I believe. Emily, hi.
Hi. So nice to be talking to you. I just had a question about cleaning your air ducts for forced air heating. Is that something you recommend having done?
Yes, absolutely. This is actually one thing that we have not covered here yet during this hour, and I think that's an important topic to make sure that we hit. A lot of people overlook air ducts to begin with. They overlook, you know, dryer ventilation. They overlook over those things that we know out of sight, out of mind, right? I highly recommend those things, and you can even get a general contractor to do those things for you. That's not going to be that, you know, expensive. This is a booming time of year for general contractors to do various things like that. And it could be a great source to make sure that it keeps us safe during winter.
What is the best way to clean air ducts ourselves? Is that something you would?
Yes. So when we're talking about doing it ourselves, right, they have special extensions that go on top of our drills, right? So if we have a power drill, they make extensions that can actually do a lot of this work for us. You can also, if you have, even if we're talking about just clearing it out a little bit, right? Like if we can't get something in the air duct itself to clean out, just getting the cover open and clear can be enough for us sometimes. And you can do that with just some express air in a bottle can be enough too. But I do advise when we're trying to clear out, like if you are moving into a home for the first time, and this is the first time you're owning this home during winter, I do advise just having someone come and checking those kind of things and clearing it out for you to make sure it's done in a proper way. And if it isn't done right, you know who to blame, you know?
Emily, does that help?
Yeah, super helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So Vicki in Madison called, couldn't stay on the line, but Vicki wants to know what you think about home repair maintenance insurance. And Vicki is asking, is it appropriate or worth the money?
You know, that's a hard one for me to say, because I want the knee-jerk reaction to say, of course it's worth the money. Right. But a lot of times they don't always cover the things that you want them to cover, especially in Wisconsin for various things. So it's important to know what specifically the insurance is going to cover and what they are not going to cover. Right. So it can be, but I think sometimes it's worth paying a little bit more for one that's going to have more full coverage for your home than the ones that don't. Buying the cheaper ones in general really aren't going to cover what we need to. And often when we're in that moment of need and we need help for something that, like, let's say an AC unit goes out, or we're having a problem with, a water heater or something, a lot of insurances don't cover those. It depends on, you know, how old they are and various things like that. So knowing what the premiums are and what you're actually going to be able to cover is really important when we're talking about home insurance in general.
Especially when those are really big ticket items.
They're huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can drain it. You know, I'm always, the reason why I'm cautious of it is because I've seen a lot of homeowners try to do all of this at once when they first get a home, right? They want to make sure they get the contractors before the first winter. They want to make sure they do the insurance. They want to make sure they do all these things. But they're house poor. They just sunk in a lot of money into the home for the first time. And that's stressful. It's so stressful. And I want people to go into it with an open mind and understand that if they have to roll the dice for their own, you know, well-being economically, sometimes it is worth it. It can be scary, but it can be worth it, especially for our frame of mind.
You mentioned that, you know, contractors are super busy trying to call up electricians or plumbers or just, you know, handy people. Are you, if you're looking to hire out a project, what is your best advice for finding a contractor?
Always get three opinions. never, ever go with just one or two. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of us don't know the ins and outs of the industry itself, right? If we're talking about, you know, plumbing or electrical work or anything like that, those are specialized trades work, right? And we might not know the ins and outs. So you get the first contractor to come over and you pick their brain and you ask as many questions as you can in order to get sure you know what you have for the specific problem. Then you get the second and third contractor to come in and you use the information you get from the first one to kind of feel out the other two. Never go with the lowest, never go with the highest, go with the medium. And the reason why I say that is because there's always a reason why someone is lowballing you, right? And there's always a reason why someone is putting a really big price on it. The middle ground is typically the route that I tell people to go, but always trust your gut. If you have a better working relationship, if you feel like you can ask good questions and you're getting good, solid answers from that contractor, that's great. But also ask who is going to be doing the work. Often the person who's giving you this quote isn't the person doing the job. So making sure you have that frame in mind that if they're going to outsource this work, if they're going to go to a third party, which often happens, make sure you know that that's what's happening, because there's nothing like, you know, seeing an unmarked van show up to your house with, you know, some shoddy tools, and they think they're going to do a good job in your home, and it typically isn't the case. You want to have accountability when we're talking to contractors.
I would imagine, too, as you put those quotes all side by side, you have to make sure you're looking at apples to apples, that they haven't bid out certain aspects of the job.
Yeah, a lot of times they'll work in things there where they have, like, you know, extra things here and there, extra things there, here and there. I do think that, you know, we have this ugly picture of tradespeople, like they're always out to get us. I honestly, it's my experience being in this industry for 15 years, that most people get in this industry because they genuinely want to do good by people. They genuinely want to help people. And I think you can ask a contractor straight up sometimes how they feel, right, about certain things or making sure that you know, you want it for your home. But always be cautious for your own benefit, right? Like, use the information you can get from one contractor to try and make sure you get those bids down for the other contractors. And make sure that we're always asking people around our community to, you know, using resources like Facebook and Instagram to ask people what their experiences are with other contractors can be really big.
Mercury, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.
Mercury Stardust is a maintenance technician known as the Trans Handyman on TikTok. Also, if you're searching for more home improvement conversations, how about check out our Ask the Contractor series from our morning show archives. 24 shows, so many experts. Find a link to the series at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.